Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And with me, of course, praise be unto God. Excuse me. Praise be unto God. I have my beautiful co-host with me, the woman that stands by me, supports me, loyal, faithful, all of those things, the woman that knows how to even put me in my place and do so respectfully, a woman that takes on a lot, carries heavy loads, and still has a way of smiling in the time of need it when one needs to be comforted. I'm speaking of no other than my beautiful co-host, Minister Tamika Garnes. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. I am well. I am alive. I am happy. I thank you for the introduction, as always. And a lot of those traits that you said about me came from watching you. And so I just thank God for my example, my God example. He gave me a good example to follow. So to God be the glory for your life and how you represent God in the way that he's supposed to be represented.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. As always, thanks to God. You know, we're so glad that you're here with us. You know how I'm forever saying this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And as I say that today, I think about my yesterday. I think about my yesterday. And yesterday had a lot of emotional up and down, up and down, up and down. And in that up and down state that I was in, there had to be some forgiveness done. There had to be some decision making. There had to be wondering how what I'm doing, how it's going to affect other people. There was so much that was going on. And when I look at what we'll be talking about today and how what we do affects so many other people, and I look back on yesterday, and I realized that in the decisions that I had to make yesterday, some of those decisions I had to make coming from the office of a pastor, some decisions coming from the office of a friend, some of those decisions from the office of a parent, and sometimes those decisions conflicted. They conflicted with one another. And I'm telling you, beloved, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for God and wasn't for putting my trust in him, I don't know if I would be here with the spirit of attitude that I have today, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So as we go through the lesson that we're going to be talking about today, I want you to get your minds in the place of realizing that every decision that we make, it is going to affect somebody else. It definitely affects us, and because people love us, people know us, People watch us. People care for us. People hate us. People do whatever it is when it comes to us. Because of that, our decisions are going to affect someone else. And with that being said, I want to say good morning to my Joyce and Lester Richardson. Good morning to you, beloved. Love y'all so very much. God bless you. Give my love to Tamika. God bless my daughter in the Lord. I love her. Praise be unto God. Good morning to Anita. Good morning to Prophetess Kim, to my sister Denise, to Joyce in New York, Isaiah in Chicago and in Pennsylvania, Prophetess Dorn. Good morning to you all, to Rob Lane, to Deacon Banks, just to mention a few, praise be unto God, to all of the members of New Vision that comes on board to hear what we have to share on Saturday morning. Good morning to you all. Good morning to all the new listeners that are chiming in this morning. Praise be unto God. It's good to know that you found us, however you found us, but you did, and we welcome you here to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. So we want to thank everybody for being with us this morning, and please remember to chime and share your opinions, because this is what our show is about. It's heart to heart. It's a conversation between you, us, and God, or Holy Spirit. So get in on the conversation. Praise be unto God. All righty, I'm going to turn this over into the hands of my beloved co-host. Good morning again to you, precious. Would you like to say anything and then go forth in prayer, please?
Amen. Good morning, everybody. I thank God that you're on here. That means you are allowed to see another day. So to God be the glory, and we thank you for your loyalty to this show. We thank you for your faithfulness to the show. And, well, before to this show, to God first, because this is his platform, and the things that he gives us to talk about, we love sharing with you all. And so, you know, we hope that this information over the years has really helped you or someone that you know. And so we just want to thank God that he chose us to do this, because this is all about him. This is one way to preach the gospel and one way to make him famous. And so we just thank God for trusting us, even though, you know, he know everything about us. He knows when we're going to fall short, when we're going to mess up, all of those things. But he trusts us anyway, just like he trusts every one of you all on this show. So we just, again, say thank you. Thank you, thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Lord God, we lift you up. And we just say thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing, oh God. We say thank you for waking us up this morning. And we say thank you for protecting us throughout the night, because we don't know. We just simply don't know what we had to come up against in our sleep. We don't know what we were fighting, but for our Father dispatched our angels, and they watched over in the four corners of our room, or wherever we were, and we just want to give God glory and say thank you. Thank you, Father God, that you are always with us, that you are always cheering us on, that you are pulling us close to you and just wrapping us in your loving arms, especially in the times of fear, in the times of adversity, in the times where our struggles just seem so very hard and we don't know how it's going to work out. But, Father God, you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And we just thank you. We thank you for the life that you have given us. For some of us, it may not be the life that we envisioned, but it's the life that you gave us, and we're going to make the most of it. So, Father God, we just give you praise, and we say thank you for having us on your mind before we were even conceived in our mother's wombs, Father. We just thank you, Lord God, for your love, your grace. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing for us in this season, Lord God, because without you, Lord God, we are nothing. Without you, we couldn't have made it this far in the name of Jesus, because you kept us. You kept us when we wanted to run. You kept us when we wanted to scream at somebody or give them a piece of our mind because we felt like that's what they needed. Lord God, we just thank you for just giving us another chance, Lord God. And yes, sometimes, Lord God, we fall short. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we say things that we regret, that we said. But, Father God, you forgive us. And you love us anyway. And so, Father God, right now, we just ask forgiveness, Lord God, for our thoughts, the things that we say, our intention, our motives, anything that is unlike you, Lord God. We just ask for forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. And, Lord, we ask that you just continue to help us be better in you, not better for the world, not how the world says that we should be, but be better in you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we just give you glory on today, Lord God. We praise your holy, holy, holy name, Father, and we just thank you, Lord God, just for everything, Father God. We just thank you, Lord God, for how you love us, oh God. Oh, how you love us, the unconditional love that you give to us each and every day, Father God. Oh, how you love us, Father God. Oh, how you love us, Father. And we can't ask for a better father, a better daddy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, for all the times, Lord God, when we said we were going to do something and we didn't do it, but you gave us another chance, Lord God, because we could have died right in that right there. We could have died right there in what we said we were going to do to get out of a situation, and we didn't hold up our end of the bargain on what we said that we were going to do, Father God. So we thank you for that grace and that mercy that you show us each and every day, God, that you will continue to touch our hearts. You will continue to heal our hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And, Lord, we bless you, we love you, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you for your presence, oh God. I thank you for your presence, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise your holy name. I praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All righty, all righty. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know about any of y'all, but I love to hear Minister Tabika pray, not just because her words are eloquent or anything like that. It's because she invokes the presence of Almighty God. She invokes him. The Holy Spirit sits up and responds when she is praying, and I love to hear my daughter pray. I love to hear her pray. And I marvel at what God has done in her life. And so y'all may hear me say this more than once, you know, but I can't help it. I just like what God does, what he does, how he takes those that consider the least of us, you know, and makes us, you know, the head, you know, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, you know. Those that said, no, there's no way she could do that. There's no way, you know, she's a nobody. She's a this, she's a that. But she's the one that God chose, amen? She's the one
amen.
That God chose, and he has anointed this woman of God, and I am so grateful for her. And he must have known, ain't no must have, he did. He knew what I needed in my life, in this season in my life, you know, to match us up together. Thank goodness for that summer camp. I'm telling you, thank goodness for the summer camp that she put her son in when he was 10 years old. You know, thank goodness. And that's how we met one another. And God has been great. He has been great to us in all that we have gone through. So we are good. Yeah. We are good. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So listen, beloved, what we're going to be dealing with what we're going to be dealing with now, we're going to be dealing with confidence in the face of fear. And And knowing that all of us deal with fear, all of us, we all deal with it. There's no getting around it, no ifs, ands, or buts. We all deal with fear. But let me take you first back to the Word of God, to Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 13, and verse 17 through chapter 13, verse 4. It sounds like a lot, but it isn't as much as it sounds like. But let me take you back here with Abram and show you some things in dealing with fear and how he was able to come through this. So starting at Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 to 13, it says, there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to stay there for a while because the famine in the land was severe. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarah, look, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me but let you live. Please say that you're my sister so that it will go well for me because of you, and my life will be spared on your account. At verse 17, it says, but the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues because of Abram's wife Sarah. So Pharaoh sent for Abram and said, what have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her as my wife? Here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave his men orders about him, and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. Chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. Abraham went from Egypt to Negev, he, his wife, and all he had, and Lot with him. Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. He went by stages from Negev to Bethlehem, to Bethel, to the place where Bethel and Ai, where his tent had formerly been, to the site where he had built an altar, and Abram called on the name of the Lord. Abram called on the name of the Lord. So we want to thank God for this account of Abram and what he did in the eyes of fear, what he did in the eyes of fear. Let me give you one more verse, and for those of you that are writing down, write this verse down. It's Proverbs 29 and 25. And Proverbs 29 and 25 says, the fear of mankind is a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord is protected. The fear of mankind is a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord is protected. Is protected. So amen. So we start out by looking at the fact of fear here and realizing when I said, you know, everybody has some form of fear. Excuse me. And babies, look, I had a tooth extracted yesterday, so my mouth is still a little swollen and a little heavy. So if I sound strange, chalk it up to that, please. Excuse me. When we look at a fear, you know, some people have a fear of heights. Some people have a fear of spiders. There's a specific name, you know, for those with the fear of spiders, snakes, cats, you name it. You know, they have a fear of it. Some have a fear of being a victim of violence, afraid of the dark, afraid, you know, when it comes to being in a car. I know there are people here in Baltimore that have a fear of going across bridges, and this is not just Baltimore, this is everywhere, but I mean, I was just thinking specifically, there are people that are afraid to go across the bridge. There are people that are afraid to go through the tunnel. Because of that, we have a lot of people in the Baltimore area that live on the east side and have never been to the west side. Vice versa, you know. So there is a lot of fear that we have, and that fear keeps us imprisoned in some sort of way. It keeps us locked up and not being able to move and do the things that we should be doing. Some fears may seem small, but any fear can have a crippling effect. By the same token, I want you to know that fear can be good and bad. Fear can be used to protect you. How does it protect you? Okay, let's use this as an example. When you are raising your children and you're teaching them how to cross the street, they should have a respectful fear of stepping out in the street without looking both ways and waiting for the traffic to come and go as it should. They should have the fear of that they could be in an accident and they could get hurt very seriously or even be killed in that accident. So that is a fear that helps to protect one. That helps to protect one. That is not the same fear as a person being afraid to ride in a car or drive a car. There's a different attitude with that type of fear. So it's good and or it's bad. Let's go to our most prominent fear, which we've been dealing with for the last 2 years, the fear of COVID-19. Now you have this new strand of virus that's coming up. COVID-19 has brought out a lot of fear in a lot of people, including us as saints. We've seen people get in fights in stores because they wouldn't wear their mask. We've seen fights break out on airplanes. We've seen fights break out in stores because somebody is taking the last pack of toilet paper or Lysol or something like this, and it has caused people to act crazy. Fear. When it creeps up in our lives, it does something to us. It does a lot to us. But we want to look at what did Abraham do in this case of his fear. Now, here he feared that Pharaoh would kill him so that he could have his wife, So he decided, you know, to say that she was his sister. So because of the fear of Pharaoh killing him, he began to make some decisions, and decisions could have been looked at as being irrational. He had fled the famine that was in the land, but he traded the fear of the famine for the fear of his life of being oppressed by the Egyptians. So the fear led him to respond irrationally. There are incidences in our lives that would cause us to respond irrationally about something. Fear has the ability, you know, to reduce our sound judgment and logical reasoning, and we want to contend with, should that overtake us, or should we be looking at God? Should we be so consumed by our fear, or should we look at God and what he has promised us? Should we look at him? And Simon Peter, he showed the principle about the more that we focus on God, the less we focus on our fear. And I want you to hear this. Remember when Simon Peter was in the boat with the other disciples and Jesus came walking to them on the water? Well, you know, Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Bid me to come forth." And Jesus did, and he got out of the boat and he started walking on water. He was focused in on Jesus. He was looking straight in Jesus' face, probably eye to eye. He had no doubt that he was able to do it. But after he got out there and started walking, he began to look around at his surroundings, and I can just see him. You know, first you're looking straight ahead at Jesus. Then you look to the right, and you look to the left, and you're still walking. You're still walking. But all of a sudden, you look down. And when you look down, you realize you are walking on water. Surely this is an impossibility. Surely I should be drowning or swimming, one or the other, but I shouldn't be walking on water. And so with his eyes off of Jesus, the fear swept in, and he began to sink. He began to sink, rather. And in doing that, that's what happens to all of us in some way, shape, or form. Fear and uncertainty will strike us all. And in times like this, we need to remember the very thing that Abraham forgot when he was dealing with his sister and Pharaoh. We need to remember that God is with us, and he will take care of us. And in these moments, when we again take our attention off the Father, we have a way of failing in what it is that we're going to do. So when we look at that, I want you, Anita, you, Joyce, you, Prophetess Kim, you, Denise, you, all of the rest of you on here, I want you to think of some of the situations that caused us to be fearful instead of trusting God. What were some of those situations that caused you to be fearful instead of trusting God? I know when we dealt with some form of fear last week, we named some of those things, that would cause us to be fearful and not trust God. One could be fearful at the loss of a job. One would be fearful at the diagnosis from a doctor. You have cancer, and that brings about, one could be fearful in the loss of a relationship, a failed relationship. That could be devastating to you. The idea of getting back into a relationship could be devastating to you. There are many things that we have going on in our lives, that has caused us to operate in the spirit of fear. Beloved, is there something you would like to share right now?
Yes, the fact that his wife agreed to go along with being, telling Pharaoh that she is Abraham's sister. So it not that we could read in the word at that point, but it just seems like she went on with it without any fight. So that shows you that in marriage, that sometimes, we agree with each other, even when it doesn't make sense. Because in our eyes, we are helping our spouse. We are helping our spouse, and sometimes you don't think twice about it. It's like, if my husband says that he needs help with something, sometimes you get in that wife mode. Okay, husband, I got you. I'm protecting you. So that's probably where Sarah was, that she was helping to protect her husband. So she didn't think twice about, what it was that he wanted her to be in agreement with. But we also have to make sure that we talk to God about it, because sometimes those things can, they will backfire. And instead of it helping our spouse, it actually did the opposite. And so, but we get it because it says that we are one. And so you're going to go above and beyond to help your spouse out. So you're going to go beyond to help your spouse. And so, even in the part where I did not know this part, that she was his half sister. They are the different mother. But I always thought, and please correct me, But I always thought if you had the same father that you were actually, you, that was actually your brother or your sister, but if you had different mothers, that meant that you were half sister or brother. So that's what I thought. I could be totally wrong. So if I'm wrong, please correct me. Because I thought the male DNA was the stronger one, and that made you siblings. But if you had different mothers, that made you half sister or brother.
Well, the half signifies the fact that both parents were not the parents of the two children. Okay.
Okay.
So a whole brother and sister would be a brother or sister, sibling, born with y'all have the exact same mother and father. Okay, the exact same mother and father. When either one of those spouses or parents, when either one of those spouses, those parents, copulate with someone else other than their mate, and they have a child from another relationship, because you have the same parent, one of those people are your same parent, the other one isn't, that only makes them half of your sibling instead of a whole sibling. So, and it didn't say here that, what's his name, that Abraham and Sarah, okay, they had the same father, they had different mothers, but it's not saying that, you know, that their father cheated on each other's mother. It could have been a relationship beforehand, et cetera, you know, whatever the case may be. It's just, well, just like in my situation, there's five children in our family. Four of us children came from the same mother and father. Our baby brother came from my mother, but her second husband, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he is my brother. He is my brother, but he's a half brother where the others are full brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it doesn't matter which one of them the child comes from. It's only half in compared to both of them doing the whole. Now, let me also straighten this out. Saints of God, in the natural and blood work in your DNA, yeah, you got these half. You got stepbrothers and sisters. You got those. But in families that truly love one another, especially the body of Christ and so forth and so on, my little brother, who is my little brother by another father, same mother, same father, that is my brother. I don't walk around talking about my half-brother. He is my brother. I forget that we don't have the same father, you know. So you look at your family, and it should be all as one. And like God adopted us, okay, Jesus Christ was his only begotten son. There's a reason that it's only. He is the only begotten son. Yet we adopted into the family. So we're not even, if we look at the way it is in the natural, we're not even a half brother and sister here. We are like step brothers and sisters into the family. But God adopted us, which then made us on the same level as his son, except for we couldn't be the only begotten son, because he's the only one, you know, that God begot. But when God adopted us, that meant that we are his true sons and daughters, and therefore having the same privileges, the same rights as Jesus Christ, his son, the one that he gave birth to, the one that he brought into life. You know, we have the same rights. I hope I made myself clear. I'm not sure I did. But do you understand, baby, about... Okay, all righty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in all actuality, you know, yes, what you were saying about Sarah agreeing with her husband, yes, absolutely. She was going to agree with him do what he said do, you know, because she understood that he was fearing for his life and so forth and so on. So she went along with the plan. She went along with the plan. However, she was his half-sister. She was his half-sister. And I don't even know, Tamika, to your defense too here, I don't even know if she gave that any thought, you know, mm-hmm. when she agreed to do what her husband said do, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether she gave it any thought. Well, you know, we are half-brother and sister, so I guess I'll go along with the plan. No, she was going along with the plan to save her husband's life, okay?
Yes.
That's why she was going along with the plan. Amen, amen. All right, so back to dealing with this whole thing of our fear. When we look at the fear and the different situations that could cause us to be fearful instead of putting our trust in God, let me tell you all about one of the craziest statements, and I have to go and repent. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I have to go and repent. But you know, I'm a divorcee, and my heart was really broken in that marriage, really, really broken in that marriage. I was devastated. And I married someone, you know, that I believed that God had sent to me and told me this was my husband to be, you know, by different prophetic words that were spoken over my life and so forth and so on. So, you know, I dropped my guards. I went into that thing, you know, wholeheartedly, you know, went into the marriage and so forth. We ended up breaking up, you know, 10, 11 years later, we ended up breaking up. I was devastated. And I made the statement, I will trust God with everything else in my life but my marital relationship. That I would never get married again until I saw God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit stand before me together at one time. I got to see all of you. At one time, I need, before I trust, you know, in being in a relationship again. I got to go and repent.
Yes, ma'am, you do.
Okay, because, I mean, I'm blatantly saying, God, I trust mm-hmm. you with this, but I don't trust you here. And God requires us to trust him in all things, not just some things. He requires us to trust him in all things. And our lack of trust, and what was that? Listen, what was the lack of trust built out of? Fear. I feared mm-hmm. being hurt again. I feared being disappointed again. I feared the fact that if I even, and that's from man, but I feared the fact that if I put my trust in what God says when it comes to relationships, like I did the first time, that all these negative things are going to happen again. So this is an area you can't trust God in. Saints of God, I know I'm not the only person that walked through that where you trust God in a lot of things, and there's some things you just don't trust him in. I know I'm not the only one. But baby, we have to face reality. That is something that we really have to get straight. We got to repent for not trusting God. We've got to come to him. We've got to renounce those fears that keep us bound up. I have no idea how much time has been wasted where I could have had a mate 20, 30 years ago, because I've been divorced for at least 30 years now, and not having a mate in my life all that time. What if I was supposed to have been married 25 years ago, 20 years ago, someone to walk in ministry with me, someone to pray over me and cover me, you know, someone to do all of the things that I need a mate to do or that a mate should do? What about the caring that I'm supposed to be giving to somebody? Did we all miss out on that because of my fear and lack of trust in God? Now, that's the negative side of it. Now, let me flip that coin. It's been 30-something years. So suppose in all of that time, God was working on me and the mate that he wants me to be with. He was working on the both of us. And it is in this season that we are more prepared for each other now than I would have been 25 years ago and 30 years ago. So, see, it can work negative and positive. The point is there has to be trust in God. And in that, you know, we have to put aside the fear and go to a place of worship. Now, Sarah, when she was going through what she was going through, the text doesn't say what she was feeling, but she could have felt confusion. She could have felt hurt, fear herself. She, the confidence that she had in God's promise to Abraham, because God had made a promise to Abraham. And so a lot of things that this child could have been going through at this time, you know. So we have no idea, because the word doesn't explain it to us, doesn't tell us in depth what it is that she may have gone through. But I agree with baby girl here, Minister Tabika, that a lot that her, even though she had all of these other things that she may have gone through, to protect her husband was her main goal. And look, and not only that, protecting her husband, being obedient to him. Ha. Being obedient to him, because, you know, that was a big thing, because she always called Abram, my Lord, what do you say? My Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. You are my Lord, you know, not in the respect of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, but that's how the men were respected, you know, this is my Lord. So, excuse me. So therefore, she had to obey. So even though when Abraham said, this is my sister, they were half siblings, so he was telling a half truth. But thanks to God, remember this, that there's no way around it. A half truth equals a full lie. Half truth equals a full lie. How many of us have told, you know, we like to call them the little white lies, you know, but the half truth represents a full lie. And let me tell you one that's cute. Woman puts on a dress. She's overweight. The dress is too tight. She goes before her husband. Honey, do I look fat in this? And he says, no, baby, you look fine. So he tells her that lie, okay, to build her confidence. He tells her that lie to build her confidence. Yet, you know, he wants her to feel good. He doesn't want to discourage her. But he lied to her. And so then she might step out of that house in that dress that's too small, doesn't really look right. And other people are going to say, did she look in the mirror before she came out? And then some guys who know the husband, man, did you check your wife out before you let her out of the house? You know, but he didn't want to hurt her feelings. So, you know, the fear of upsetting her and so forth and so on. So that half lie, you know, half lie, half truth, whatever it was, it turned out to be a full lie. She did look fat in it. But needless to say, we don't want to say that to each other, okay? We don't want to say that. Mm-hmm. And Abraham's fear of being killed and putting his wife up as his sister caused Pharaoh to take her as his wife. And then, beloved, look, the whole household got affected by that. God sent plagues to that household. He sent plagues to that household. Now, the people that are working for Pharaoh, all the other concubines and so forth, they had nothing to do with that. They had absolutely nothing to do with what went on. But yet they were all affected by the lie that Abraham told. Then Pharaoh is the one that came back and said, man, what have you done? Why did you let me take your wife and push her off as your sister? What have you done? How could you do this? So everybody got affected by this. And let me tell you, as a pastor, as an individual, me, myself, and I, as a parent, and so forth, one of the hardest things when it came to this, I'm almost calling it a plague, this, what do you call this thing, the COVID, the virus. I tell you, that was one of the hardest times in my life when it came to decision making. Here when they said that we had to shut things down, you know, because of the pandemic and so forth and so on. I did not want to shut down New Vision. I really didn't want to shut down New Vision. I was willing to go along with the 10 people. You know, we could only have 10. Going along with the seating 6 feet apart, got the place sanitized, had all of the stuff that they said we were supposed to have. I wanted to keep the place open. I didn't have a fear of the pandemic. Now, some of you may think that you're crazy, Anna. You're crazy, okay? I did not have the fear of the pandemic. I'm not stupid. I believe in us being wise. I truly believe in us being wise in what we do. I don't think we should have been up in each other's faces. I don't think we should have been, you know, walking around without taking every precaution that we could take. You know, we should do what we need to do to remain to be safe. However, I also did not believe we should not lose our faith and trust in God. And here is where my conflict came in. When it came time for the scene, in my head, okay, in my head, now, first of all, I had to shut everything down at the church, okay? So we were all over the place except for when we were doing our Zoom. We come together. And I saw fear in my congregation. I saw fear and people afraid, I mean, totally afraid to be anywhere near anybody and so forth. I mean, I was locked up in my apartment for almost a year. You know, not being able to go anywhere. And it wasn't for my fear. It was because my children feared me being around other people. I am a senior citizen. I do exhibit health issues so have health challenges. So, you know, according to them, being senior and having health challenges made me one of the people that would be the easiest to get it and so forth. So, you know, so to honor my children and anyone else that loved me and was protecting me in any way they could, I stayed home. I didn't go out. So I did that. Then it came to the vaccine. I did not want the vaccine. I just totally did not want the vaccine. Now, the whole time I'm telling my congregation, look, saints, we cannot operate in fear. We have got to trust God. We've got to trust him. That we say and everything that we do, we've got to trust God. God is our keeper. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over us, building a hedge of protection around us. We've got to trust God. Now, mind you, I know that people listen to what I say. I know that they do. I know that people are watching to see what I'm going to do and base what they're going to do on what I do. I realize that. I was tormented in that time period, tormented because of the fact that where my faith level is one thing. I don't want people making decisions on what I necessarily feel about something. When people would call me and say, Apostle, should I take the vaccine or not? And I told them, beloved, this is a decision that has to be between you and God. I can't tell you to take the vaccine. I can't tell you not to take the vaccine. What I will do is give you information, pro and con. And this is one of those times you're going to have to make the decision on your own. This was hard for me as a leader when your people are saying, what should I do? And there's those that took it, and they were begging me to take it. They were begging me, please take it, please take it. And for the longest time, I refused to take it. I refused to take it. I felt that it was showing still my faith in God. I trust God with my life. I trust that he won't let anything happen to me. And so that's where my faith was. And then lo and behold, you know, of course, we had members of the church that got COVID. We had members of our families that got COVID. I lost 4 cousins to COVID. Then that thing came close to home. My daughter and my granddaughter got COVID. And I'm still walking around, praise be unto God, COVID-free. And at that time, no vaccine, you know, and I'm still trusting God. And I literally feared, you know, there were those that were following behind me. And then if I got the vaccine, that would say, oh, so she doesn't trust God anymore. And I mean, I really had a rough time with this thing, y'all. I really had a rough time. I just so that all of you will know, okay, I did end up getting the vaccine. I did. I did end up getting it. But I'll tell you what made me get it. Wasn't because I was afraid of catching it, the virus. Wasn't afraid of that at all. It was 2 things. I was going out to minister to homeless people, which I believed were not vaccinated. So, and this was going to be the first time I'm going to be with a whole group of people, okay, that very easily could have the virus, very easily. And a lot of them, you know, not being tested, don't know where they've been, what they've gone through, blah, 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 blah. And I'm around all of that, and I didn't fear me getting it, but I feared of me being a carrier and taking it back home to my daughter and my granddaughter, who had been very, very sick behind it, very sick behind the virus. And I did not want to contaminate them. So I went and I got the shot to keep from contaminating them. And I had a hard time letting anybody know that I got the shot dealing with the faith issue. Yet those that I did tell, and finally it's around to everybody, they were ecstatic. Finally, she came to her senses and she got the shot. The second thing that made me be able to do it was the fact that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The same God that kept you when you didn't have the shot is the same God that will keep you if you have the shot. I'm fit by God no matter what. It didn't. God knew my heart. It didn't change my faith in God. It was what was happening to those people that were watching me and waiting for me to make decisions or before they made their decisions and so forth and so on. So the same Father that covered me, he covered me with the shot. He covered me without the shot. You know, they're saying there's so many things that can happen to you if you get the shot. There's so many things that can happen if you don't get the shot. God is still God. He was still my protector. He was still my protector. And that's how I had to deal with it. So that was one of the things, one of the questions was, when has my faith or fear had a rippling effect on others? During this pandemic, whatever it was I was doing, dealing with this pandemic, it had a rippling effect on my entire congregation. It wasn't just about me. My entire congregation looking at me, what are you going to do? Even if they went out and did things before I did it, but they want to know, Apostle, what are you going to do? So thanks to God, as we walk in fear, and lack of confidence in God, we must, as we look at confidence, that confidence is stirred up by our faith in God, and our faith is stirred up by our trust in God. We have to overcome our fear when we understand that in our time of worshiping God, praising God, realizing that God is with us. He promised to be with us. He promised that he would not leave us. He is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his word. And we have to trust in that. We have to trust in that. We keep moving on. We don't stand still in the midst of all of the things that paralyze us. We must come to a place where we say, God, I trust you. I trust you. And release these things and let them go. Release them and let them go. So that, you know, what I wanted to give you, and it's not as easy as just releasing them and letting them go, okay? It's not as easy as that. But you do have to come to the place where you're saying, Father, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to trust you. And every time that spirit of fear rises up, you go into a place of praise and worship. You go into that place, praise be unto God, where your confidence in God becomes bigger than the fear of anything that you have. Let your confidence in God come more so than anything. In Proverbs 14:26, it says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. The more we deepen our reverential fear of God, the more our faith and trust in him grows. The more it grows. Thanks to God, I pray and hope that, you know, with me sharing some of my triumphs and failures in dealing with this type of thing, that it's given you the confidence to know that God is able. He's willing. He's willing. He doesn't want any of us to be tormented in anything that we do when it comes to him. He doesn't want us to be tormented. And I'm sorry I took the entire time. I'm sorry. I didn't let my baby, my co-host, say much of anything that one thing.
That is fine, beloved.
Oh, my gosh. Lord have mercy. If I went off this morning, I'm sorry, my love. I'm sorry. But there's a couple of minutes left. Is there anything you would like to add to what has been shared here?
Apparently Holy Spirit wanted you to share that, because you shared how it was causing, you know, a conflict within you, but you also mm-hmm. shared how Holy Spirit spoke to you and gave you peace about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't know who else is on here that may be going through the same thing. And so mm-hmm. it was meant for you to share that because maybe what you just shared helped somebody else make a decision on a situation similar or the exact situation about the vaccine. So that's how mm-hmm. I look at it.
Amen. 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 Yeah, that was a big thing. I mean, you know, and a lot of our congregation. A lot of our congregations have no idea of the pull on our lives in making decisions as the leaders, the pastors, you know, ministers in charge for whatever ministry it is. Sometimes they have no idea what we go through in making a decision, realizing that that decision is going to affect everybody connected to us because people are watching. And first and foremost, though, in our decision-making, we must be faithful to God, you know, faithful to God. There's some decisions we're going to make that's going to hurt people's feelings and some that's going to cause others to be ecstatic and overjoyed. But whatever we do, let us do what we can to walk in what God has called us to walk in. And prayerfully, those will follow us. They're following us to Christ. They're following us in the way of the Lord. So follow me as I follow Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, beloved, this has been Apostle Etta Banks along with Minister Tabika Garnes here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. In all of my talking, I didn't give you much time to say anything this morning, but you know you can always reach me. You can always share again on next week as we come back. Always, as you know, I tell you, please share this this station with others. Let them come and be able to share their hearts with us. I love you. I trust God in your life. I trust God for you. And go forth, be blessed, and know that no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.